Coming up on TNT, is Google going to steal Waze right from under Facebook's nose? HTC might get senseless. And iOS 7 is flatter than ever. So say sources. All that and more coming up.
Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is TWiT.
Bandwidth for Tech News Today is provided by CacheFly at CacheFly.com.
This is Tech News Today for Friday, May 24th, 2013. Tech News Today is brought to you by Squarespace, the all-in-one platform that makes it fast and easy to create a professional website, blog, portfolio, or online store. For a free trial and 10% off your first purchases on new accounts, go to squarespace.com and use the offer code TNT5. Welcome to Tech News Today. I'm Sarah Lane.
I'm Aya Zakta.
And I'm Jason Howell.
And Tom Merritt is off today. We don't know where he is, but I'm sure we'll still have a very good show because there's a lot of tech news to talk about.
I'm pretty sure he's gallivanting. Wherever he is, he's gallivanting.
Yeah, he's a real gallivanter.
There. Yeah.
Sometimes a strider as well.
Yeah.
Saunterer. Mm-hmm. But let's start off with the top 10 stories of the day in the news fuse. Wow. Google may be going forward with a plan to purchase Waze for $1 billion or more. That seems to be the magic number these days.
Kidding.
This is according to a report by Bloomberg. Sources say that Google is considering a bid for the mobile mapping and navigation company, but only really got serious after learning that Facebook was also in talks to buy Waze.
In an unusual move, U.S. District Judge Denise Coates said that, quote, "I believe that the government will be able to show at trial direct evidence that Apple knowingly participated in and facilitated a conspiracy to raise prices of ebooks." The statement was made at a pretrial hearing on Thursday, and her view is not final. Judge Coates will preside over the trial starting on June 3rd.
HTC has had an interesting week, but there's new reports that the company may produce a Google edition of its latest flagship smartphone running stock Android.
Yes, please.
Work on a new version of the HTC One without Sense software customizations is underway, say the sources, with a U.S. launch imminent. That same source has leaked accurate information, at least to a reporter, in the past on the Galaxy S4 Google Edition ahead of its announcement at the I.O. conference, so this rumor may carry some weight.
According to gaming site MCV, Microsoft and gaming publishers will get a cut of sales of each used Xbox One game. MCV's retail resources also say to deal in used games, retailers will have to work with Microsoft and use Microsoft's online Azure-based pre-owned system. For gamers, when a person sells an Xbox One game, the original owner would have that particular game removed from their online account.
Well, at least that's clear. The International Trade Commission has said that technology used in the Xbox 360 does not violate a patent owned by Google subsidiary Motorola Mobility. If the Xbox had been found to infringe, the ITC could have blocked the console from being imported into the U.S., says Reuters. Microsoft Deputy General Counsel David Howard said, "This is a win for Xbox customers and confirms our view that Google had no grounds to block our products."
What's black and white and flat all over? No, not a cardboard penguin. Although I guess technically they'd be black and white flat all over. Anyway, according to 9 to 5 Mac, iOS 7 will employ a stark color palette for its user interface elements. As widely reported, heavy textures would get the boot. 9 to 5 got pretty specific as well, saying the lock screen will be redesigned. The transparent shiny layer under the clock will be replaced by flat black. The square grid for entering a PIN would be replaced by round buttons. And the home screen would be replaced by a search bar that uses Alta Vista to search your phone.
What?
Okay, I made the last thing up, but everything else was in the report.
God, I would have believed you, too. You really sold that. Alta Vista. Google is facing a new antitrust probe by the U.S. Federal Trade Commission into whether the company is using its leadership in the online display advertising market to illegally squelch their competition, say sources. We've got a lot of sources in the news feed today. The new inquiry, which follows the FTC's decision to close a review of Google's search business in January without taking action, is still in preliminary stages and may not go any further.
The clock is ticking on Google Reader's death, so here's some news on Digg's attempt at a replacement. Speaking at Internet Week New York, Digg CEO Andrew McLaughlin says their product will be called Digg Reader and is not going to be a separate app. He says that the app will meet its goal of launching by the end of June, Google Reader drops dead on July 1st.
It's dramatic. Hey, Ayaz, do you like battery life?
I love battery life.
I like battery life, too, and you're going to love this. Intel's upcoming family of core processors, codenamed Haswell, will offer 50% more battery life in laptops than did their Ivy Bridge predecessors. That's at least according to Intel. Haswell chips have been designed for laptops and tablets with a focus on lowering power consumption. But longer battery life should not come at a cost to performance. And in idle or standby mode, the chips are apparently going to do even better, extending battery life by up to 20 times.
We saved the biggest news story of the day for the very end of the news fuse.
Yes.
Here it comes. Microsoft's introducing new hardware, two mice, the Sculpt Comfort Mouse and the Sculpt Mobile Mouse. Both devices will have a dedicated Windows 8 start button. The Sculpt Comfort Mouse, which is the larger of the two, has a start button that also has a capacitive area that will let you swipe through open programs. The Sculpt Mobile Mouse will launch this month for $30. The Comfort Mouse launches in June for $40.
Mice.
Yeah.
This episode of Tech News Today is brought to you by Squarespace, the all-in-one platform that makes it fast and easy to create a professional website or a blog or a portfolio or even an online store. Yeah, you want to sell stuff? Squarespace has a template for you. Since its platform upgrade last fall, Squarespace kind of just keeps getting more and more awesome. You've got new product features. You've got new templates. In fact, even since Squarespace 6 came out, and I was really impressed by that, they've got new templates that they've rolled out since then. So if it's been a while since you've been over in the template section at Squarespace, definitely give it a whirl because it is lovely. Squarespace has 24/7 support team, which is obviously really, really important. Not only do you want a hosting platform where you don't have to worry about your site going down, but you want it to look good, but if you have a question or something like that, you've got those people behind the scenes that are willing to help you. Squarespace is very well designed and has great integration with social networks as well. You know, you're on Instagram, you go ahead and have a little Instagram widget on the side. You can sort of drag and drop functionality with Squarespace. It's fast and easy to use. The page builder tool is called the Layout Engine and lets you customize pages in seconds because you're adding blocks of content for photos, for videos, all your social media importing. It's all part of Squarespace templates. Squarespace Commerce provides a powerful and flexible solution to sell your stuff in a very professional way. It's integrated to work with every Squarespace template. So you can sell physical goods, you can sell digital goods, you know, music CDs, MP3s, you can go nuts. Squarespace gives you and your website users the best mobile experience as well. So whether you're on your laptop or your PC or your iPad or your Android, yeah, I mean anything. Squarespace integrates all your website needs into one platform. Domains, design, development, commerce, hosting, and that 24/7 customer support. For a free trial, go to squarespace.com. Sign up for a free account. Don't need a credit card or anything. Just try it out and start building that website. If you decide to purchase the plan, use the offer code TNT5 and the number 5, and you'll get 10% off your first purchase on new accounts. That includes monthly and annual plans. And don't forget about free domain registration for annual plan customer subscriptions. That's squarespace.com, and that offer code is TNT5. And we thank them for sponsoring this episode of Tech News Today. All right, joining us on this fine Friday, as always, is Darren Kitchen from Hack5. Hey, Darren.
Hey, Sarah, how are you guys?
Very good. Hey. I like your whole Western theme.
Oh, thank you. Well, I've been on my way on part of Hack Across America. I'm doing the Pacific Northwest, but it kind of started with a weird roundabout detour through Arizona and Nevada, as you do on your way to Portland. So I'm in Eugene, Oregon right now.
You're literally on the Oregon Trail, aren't you?
I'm sorry. I just had flashbacks of forging rivers and dying of
dysentery.
Just don't die
sorry.
Of dysentery
Please.
Before we get to the end of the show.
You guys. Yes.
Also joining us, as he was last Friday, is Len Peralta, our very favorite internet cartoonist. Hey, Len.
Hey, how you doing, Sarah? How you doing, everybody?
Good.
How's it going?
And happy first birthday to your son.
Oh, thank you so much. He says thank you in his own little way.
His own little 1-year-old
way. That
was
a perk. That's good enough.
Yeah.
That's right.
So Len is going to be drawing our stories in real time as we go through the news of the day. It's been a huge hit so far. So, Len, thank you so much for joining us again.
No problem.
Can't wait to see what you come up with. All right, so let's get into, I guess it's sort of our number one story, one of them anyway. The idea that Google may be buying Waze. Boy, it sure seems like everybody wants Waze, right? And the story, as we mentioned in the news fuse, is that Google might purchase Waze for $1 billion or more. You know, $1 billion used to make me go, wow, $1 billion. They really want this company. Now it's kind of like, yeah, it's where you start having a conversation. According to a Bloomberg report, this was a bid that is kind of in effect because of the story that Facebook is also interested in Waze. I mean, we don't know much more than the fact that there are rumors that Google is interested in buying Waze. Do you think this is sort of like a defensive move? Everybody wants Waze just so the other big company that has enough money to buy Waze can't get it first?
It seems like a defensive move considering Google has all of the technology and they have the self-driving cars. They have the ability to get really accurate maps. But then again, Waze brings something that Google doesn't really have a lock on, which is social. If you bring social to maps, that seems to be something Google's lacking in. They have Google Plus, and they're trying very hard to make that a go, but Facebook is still dominating that. Facebook makes it a little bit more sense with Waze, considering Facebook doesn't have the same kind of mapping data that Google has. Although I'm sure Apple's like fuming somewhere going, wait a second, weren't we talking to Waze? We really need map data as soon as we possibly can.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, it's sort of like all of the giants. I mean, who's next? Darren, I mean, is Yahoo going to end up buying Waze? Is this sort of just like a game of hot potato?
I don't know. See, my interest in this story about Waze is really just the Google bid because, I don't know, I feel like on the one hand, could this be potentially like how, remember when Google bid for Spectrum? I wonder how serious Google is about this. Or if this is just a play to keep Waze out of the hands of Facebook, which would make a little bit of sense. Or if Waze is just like, hey, guys, we're available, bid for us. And then they can go over to their investors and say, hey, look, we're worth a lot of money. Give us some more.
We did see a sticking point, though. The rumors were that Waze had a sticking point with Facebook about the location of where their home base would be.
Because currently it's Israel.
And I wonder if Google is offering a better deal for something like that. This would even be on the table because Google doesn't seem to care where you are.
Minus
the mapping, I guess.
Yeah, maybe it's just because, yeah, Google is so deeply entrenched in maps and has been for so long. Google seems like a more global company. I mean, than Apple, than Facebook, than almost any other company that would have the kind of money to drop on something like Waze. It kind of makes sense that Google would say, sure. I mean, you'd be based wherever. I mean, because Google's, I'm sure they've got some headquarters in Israel as well. I don't know. I feel like Waze's days as an independent company have got to be numbered at this point.
Well, is there any offensive reason for having it? I don't mean a defensive reason to keep it out of people's hands. What other reason would make sense for a company like Google to even buy a company like this? It's $1 billion. Unless Waze is running into issues with advertising, maybe Waze wants a better advertising deal. Mm-hmm. Like, what could make this a really sweet deal for a company like Waze? Because it just seems like it's $1 billion. That sounds great. But if they're worried about location, that seems to be an issue. But what would make sense for Google?
Yeah, I mean, Darren, what do you think? I mean, Google is...
Yeah, you know what? You're right. When you pose like Waze versus like Google Maps and some of the other features that Android already has, it's kind of one of those things where, well, obviously Google has more market share and more people using their own native stuff. And it's not like any of these features couldn't be replicated. You do bring up a good point about how, you know, Google has an awesome sales team, so I could see some integration there, but I don't know. I see this more of a defensive thing.
It seems like Google is in the it's in a good position because nobody can touch Google Maps right now. But maybe the company realizes eventually Apple will figure it out. Facebook obviously is taking the idea of location seriously. So we've got to have that other social layer on top of what is already a really good product so that nobody can compete.
Okay, their social network, they have Latitude, right? That's supposed to be their social mapping thing?
Yeah, that's kind of what I was about to say. Like, it really actually kind of doesn't make a whole lot of sense for Google to buy this from we want that technology inside. They're already doing a lot of the stuff that Waze is doing inside Google Maps with Latitude. Google Plus is obviously their social platform. So even if there are things that Waze is doing that Google Maps isn't yet, I wouldn't imagine it would be very difficult. If they're thinking about this, I think it has to be a defensive move. Because, I mean, even right now, if you take a look at the things that they talked about at last I/O that are coming into maps and navigation for Android, let's say, in the near future, they're already kind of working out the kind of one of the strengths of Waze, which is getting yourself around obstructions ahead of you. They're already doing that. So maybe they just don't want the competition to be able to do that, too. Oh.
All right, well, let's move on to something that excited Jason in the news views, and that's the idea that HEC could be dropping scents.
Yeah, the report, the headline was great at geek.com. HT considering a vanilla Android HTC One senseless edition.
Oh, I see what they did there.
Geek.com is the source on this story, and they're reporting that HTC is considering releasing a version of the One with stock Android, no HTC Sense. They cite multiple unnamed sources and says a U.S. launch is imminent, whatever the heck that means. The phone would hit the U.S. first and possibly be sold by Google. An announcement of the device could come within the next 2 weeks. So we have all these considering words, we've got some Weasley words, and we have like hard dates at the same time, which is kind of strange. Back on the 15th, Google I.O., that keynote day, HTC told TechnoBuffalo.com, this is a quote, HTC is not currently planning a Nexus edition of the HTC One, end quote. Then rumors of the HTC One with stock Android popped up again around May 20th. Darren, is the One without Sense, is that wishful thinking? Do you want this device to exist?
Okay, so obviously I wish that every Android device that comes out, you have the option easily without rooting and doing ROMs and stuff to either have, you know, the Sense or the TouchWiz or whatever have you, or the prime Google experience. But that is definitely a hope. I mean, my hope is that this is a trend and that HTC does this and garners lots of sales and Samsung takes note. And then, you know, we see more manufacturers adopt this. My fear is that in all actuality, this is probably just HTC, who's kind of like the underdog at the moment, kind of vying for any market share that's available. And there needs to be more than just a Nexus. So if they're able to do this, they'll definitely, you know, garner more sales. Some mention that there might be some issues with the fact that the hardware needs custom software to do some of the weird like audio stuff that they do with Beats or whatever have you, as well as the camera. But I couldn't see how that could be rolled into a driver. But yeah, anything that brings us closer to vanilla Android, I think is good.
Sarah, we've seen a lot of reports of how beautiful the HTC One hardware is. I've seen it. I've used the device. It's really a beautiful piece of hardware. It almost seems Apple-esque when it comes to the design. If there is a third major phone that has vanilla Android, we're talking about already the Nexus 4 has it, obviously. The S4 is coming out with their version, or Samsung is. If HTC does this, will this make this device stand out more, or is it just going to seem like a Me Too kind of move?
Well, I mean, between the One and the S4, which one do you think is better? Which hardware do you want to hold more?
The One.
So well, far. There you go. Okay, so the S4 has something that people want. You know, you've got that vanilla Android experience, right? HTC is in deep doo-doo in a variety of ways. So why not offer something that's going to move merchandise and make people happy? I mean, what do you have to lose, really, besides kind of saying, yeah, okay, Sense doesn't always work for people, and we really, really wanted it to, but you want something else. So that's, it's kind of a, I don't see how you lose in this situation.
Yeah. I say in a world where Nokia is making a Windows phone, I don't see this out of the realm of possibilities.
Yeah, I think.
This is a good realm.
I think this works if HTC can get the phone like this in stores. If it's through the Play Store, the way that they're doing the S4, Google edition or whatever, the Play Store, it's great that they sell devices there. That's not going to win HTC a whole lot of market share, though, if they're the sales of this device are specifically through the Play Store. They have to get them into stores. I think the same for the S4 is... It works the same for the S4 as well. I want to see more devices, more top-tier hardware like this, have a Google version of it, because I think that Android right now is very strong in and of itself on its own. The overlays that were built into the system 2, 3, 4 years ago were doing that because they were kind of catching up on a lot of the downsides that Android didn't have. And now it has a lot of those things. So giving the option of that, as well as the security updates that you get by having an Android experience phone, those updates hopefully aren't lagged as seriously as they are now with these highly modified devices.
That's an interesting angle, the security aspect, because the Google edition of the S4 is going to get updated as if it was a Nexus device. That means you don't have to worry about carriers
hopefully
proving that in theory.
Yeah, in theory.
The other thing is HTC Sense, I think, has outlived its usefulness. The Sense came out when Android was really ugly. That the first version of Android was clunky. It was not as polished as it is now. It's on version 4.2.2. Google's figured out the design, I think, pretty well to this point. I think a lot of the stuff that HTC does, they could just do in apps. You don't necessarily need their HTC Sense, which looks like Flipboard on the front screen. You don't need that if you have Flipboard, or if you have whatever you want to have, the HTC Sense experience that you could install later. I think that this would be a great move for the company, but then again, they have supply issues. If they come out with a brilliant product and then they can't supply this product at all, they're seriously already. I mean, we reported they're in a lot of trouble. If they come out with another great product and nobody can get it, they're screwed.
Yeah, I mean, they sold 5 million ones in the last month mm-hmm. or so, but they say, sorry, is that right? Yeah,
five million. 5 million.
5 million. I was like, I meant 5 billion. No, I didn't. That's companies buying other companies. But you know, they say it would have been a lot more had there actually not been component shortages. All right, let's move on to Iowa 7 and what it's going to look like. As you mentioned, black, white, and flat in the news views. And sources are apparently saying that SVP of Industrial Design, Johnny Ive, who is the guy who hates skeuomorphism, is absolutely tearing apart iOS. And at WWDC, where we're all expected to see what's going on, we should expect not really so many new features, just that everything's going to look really different. So apparently, the Johnny Ive says that software designs that have physical metaphors, which of course is kind of the whole point behind skeuomorphism, just don't stand the test of time, you know, because we all move forward and that stuff feels very dated. Current apps, you know, you've got maps that's sort of like a silver thing. You've got the notes app, which is the yellow notepad. You've got mail that's blue and white. I mean, we're all very used to it, but could it look better? I know the Game Center green felt thing could absolutely look better. So there are quite a few things. And again, these are, you know, this is speculation, but this is sources who have inside knowledge of design meetings say that the transparent time bar on the top lock screen is going to be shine free and black. And the pin code is not going to look like a square grid anymore. It's going to be round, black buttons, white text, white borders. It all sounds kind of very simplified. You know, when I was reading the story this morning, I had to kind of like laugh at myself because I started getting all excited. I was like, oh my gosh, it's going to look really different. It's going to look really different. And then it's like, but the thing is, like, I feel like this is like the old bait and switch that Apple's going to pull on a lot of people, where if you can make it look really, really different, you're going to get a lot of people oohing, aahing, and clapping when iOS 7 itself might not actually be that different, right? It's just, you know, another coat of paint type of a thing. Darren, what do you think? Does a huge difference in design, but maybe not in feature specs, enough for Apple at this point?
Well, I mean, if you don't have the features to ooh and aah at, this is definitely something. I mean, you have to bring something to the table. You've got that revolving timeline. So it makes sense. And also, if you look at the industry in you know, smartphones in the last 5 years, we've actually seen kind of a shift where if you look at Donut, you know, the original Android versus what we have now, if you look at Windows Mobile, everything is really getting flat, really skinny fonts. Just the design is changing, and that happens. You know, Web 2.0 used to have rounded corners. It's just one of those things. And so I don't know. I mean, I don't care if you change the UI. I'd just like them. I'd like to be hearing the rumors of iOS 7 be incorporating cool. Well, I mean, I'm interested in like cool security features, but you know, any features would be great. But you know, maybe. Maybe I don't know. I also don't see the whole thing of like the skeuomorphism. It's like, dude, if you open Microsoft Word, the save icon is a floppy disk. Do you think people know what a floppy disk is anymore? It's just, that's just what it is. You just know that means save.
Exactly. Well, I mean, there's also talk that we'll get panorama wallpapers, which is something that, I mean, we've got panorama photography capability that came out with iOS 6 devices. But that's something that Android folks have enjoyed for a number of years. Is Darren right? I mean, is it just sort of like, hey, design evolves and Apple has to kind of follow the trend rather than blazing its own trail?
I think they need to show something's different about this phone. The design of the iPhone has been the same for a while. The iPad has been the same for a while. And the thing is, one of the things that used to make Apple stand out, or at least their products, is when you would see one anywhere on the street, you'd know what it is. You're like, ooh, what's that? It looks new. Mm-hmm. But the thing is, the iPhone has looked the same, even though it's gotten a little bit taller. It's not something that people are they're not gasping at anymore. They're more interested in the S4. They're more interested in the One or these larger devices because they look totally different from not just the hardware standpoint, but the software standpoint. And Apple's got that great screen, so they need to really show off something. So I think with a new coat of paint is probably going to help a lot. And one of the things I was looking at with this story was the user interface issues at iOS, because they use all these metaphors that are kind of outdated. You don't need to have this kind of modal Windows situation. You don't. It took Apple forever to include a notification drawer. Lots of things that.
And that's kind of a mess anyway.
That is, yeah, it should be a little bit more customizable and cleaned up. But a lot of this stuff is catch-up features, and they're sticking to older metaphors, which were great back in 2007 when this came out. But now it's just, like Darren's saying, design has changed to the point where we understand what's going on. Mm-hmm. When this was first introduced, this was a huge leap. But now it's like, okay, we know how this works. Now we can clean up all this legal pad nonsense.
Floppy disk icon on the lock screen. Call in it. Not really.
You saved the state.
Well, you know,
I wonder if anybody's drawn analogies between kind of like the first versions of Mac OS and like OS 10, you know, the evolution there of some of the metaphors that were being used.
I don't know. I'm still going to get excited if things look really different because, well, why the heck not?
I just hope they work.
Yeah.
I mean, Maps looks different,
sure.
Too.
I hope that I have to use a fingerprint to open to unlock my phone. I mean, I hope that rumor's true. I mean, that's kind of exciting, right? And if it looks different in the, you know, that's just a cherry on top. All right, let's move on to, everybody wants to buy Hulu, or do they? We never get that far with this story, do we?
Well, there's a new round of bids going on for Hulu. The LA Times is reporting this, and the first rounds of bids are due this week. Apparently. Now, the first bid that the Times reported was the Chernin Group, a media company founded by News Corp executive Peter Chernin. Ross Levinson is heading up another team at Guggenheim Digital Media. Now, if you remember Levinson's name, he sounds familiar because he was Yahoo's interim CEO after Scott Thompson left. Now, Guggenheim indirectly owns publications like Hollywood Reporter, Billboard, and they want to expand their media offerings. Time Warner Cable is also in the running. LA Times says the cable company is interested because it sees Hulu as a potential vehicle to make it easier for subscribers to watch TV through high-speed internet connections, and Time Warner Cable has presented a scenario where Hulu would become the primary platform for TV everywhere. So instead of going to everybody's little individual site or Xfinity or whatever, you just go to Hulu. And somehow DirecTV is in the race. Hulu is Yahoo is not in this article as a excuse me, I'm mixing them all up. Yahoo is not in this article as a bidder right now. Hulu launched 5 years ago. It's got 22 million subscribers, 4 million pay for Hulu Plus. Darren, do any of these prospective buyers seem like a good fit for Hulu?
I don't know what is a good fit for Hulu. Hulu's changed so much over the years. I mean, it made sense at first, like as the, you know, alternative platform to YouTube, something that all of the content, you know, carriers could own. Ultimately, if they're keeping the same philosophy of being, you know, the traditional TV model shoehorned into the internet, I think it'll survive. But yeah, I don't know. I don't know who's going to be the best shepherd for it.
So what do you make of this? You got Ross Levinson, who obviously seems like, well, if he was at Yahoo, he'd be pushing for this, but he got bumped out for Marissa Meyer. DirecTV, I don't know what they would do, but Time Warner Cable seems like they have an interesting idea.
Yeah, I actually, that's the one that's most interesting to me, because if you think about, okay, well, what does Hulu do well? For me, I pay for Hulu Plus. I watch Hulu on a daily basis. I mean, it's my on-demand network stuff. I mean, some cable stuff, too. But, you know, I watch a lot of my network shows. You've got somebody like Time Warner Cable. Well, the cable companies also have on-demand services for a variety of their programming. But the interface is awful. I think across the board, no matter who your cable company is, it just looks like garbage. Hulu is pretty nice. I mean, on my Apple TV, I find it very pleasant. You know, I've got my favorite shows and the whole thing looks really great. If you can add a Hulu interface on top of a cable subscription and figure out a way for Hulu to just become that, and you watch live stuff or you watch your on-demand stuff, and the relationships benefit from what Hulu is already carrying, then you've got something that works really well. And the cable networks need something like this. I mean, whether it's Hulu or something else, it's like you actually need an interface that people are like, wow, this is awesome. It works really well. It makes sense.
Yeah, the Time Warner Cable one seems interesting as well, because you would have potentially more content on there. Because if you're talking about taking every online streaming version of TV Everywhere and you put that on Hulu, that's things like Mad Men. That's things like from AMC. Things from, I'm trying to think what other networks I watch. Spike. They all have these.
You watch a lot of Bravo.
That's right. I do watch my Real Housewives of wherever it may be.
It's just any city.
That's right.
They've got all
the cities. I will watch that. But the point is, it'd all be in that one location. That was a big deal with Hulu, is that you would not have to keep searching for ABC.com, CBS.com. Well, CBS is not a partner, but Fox. All of these different networks are all over the place, and they all have that different user interface. Same thing. How do you find stuff? It seems like it's a really annoying problem. If Time Warner gets in there and can get all of these companies on board, and if Hulu Plus becomes part of your cable fee, might be a little bit more easy to swallow. Why am I paying for ads? Well, because you're used to paying for ads. Nobody complains about that with Xfinity.com, even though the ad breaks are like 6 minutes. I'm complaining right now. Hulu, I think, can probably get away with this if Time Warner gets on this. And I also think it would take away that the interests of the News Corp and Comcast and all these other guys that are, have their hands in so many different things right now.
Well, and the nice thing about Hulu is that we're all so used to ads that we'll just get a more variety of ads, right? Instead of the same ad seen 12 times in a session.
As long as I have that little timer that tells me how much time I have. I love that.
I do too.
That should always be there.
Yeah. You only have to suffer for another 4 seconds.
Or you should run away for this long.
I feel like Hulu's main competition isn't actually the individual sites like the CBS.com, the NBC's.com, but it's actually like the BitTorrent, because ultimately it's all about the convenience of the consumer, and they've done a pretty good job about making it convenient over the years.
All right, let's move on to a little Google Reader future. Well, Google Reader itself isn't much time left. July 1st, you mentioned in the news views is when...
They call it sunsetting. I said drop dead, but one of the two.
Yeah, just, you know, bang, you're out of here. Well, Digg CEO Andrew McLaughlin, you might remember that Digg, which is owned by parent company BetaWorks, had said when people started freaking out that Google Reader was going away, how about we build one? We did so well with the resurgence of Digg. We're going to do this. It's Internet Week in New York, and was on stage and has some a little bit more information about how it's going over there with the new Digg Reader. He says the replacement, as you mentioned in the news views, isn't going to be its own app. It'll be called Digg Reader, so you have to assume it's some sort of incorporation into the current Digg experience. He says, we're aiming to build something that's very clean, very simple, and very fast. He says Digg Reader will be a production tool and will offer ways to sort and rank content, which is, you know, obviously an alternative to just the way that Reader worked in the past, which is just it's sort of a scroll of all the stuff that you want to read in an effort to scan more quickly. So it sounds like there's sort of diggification going on of the idea behind the new Reader. He says people will be able to sort by popularity, but not so much a social experiment. Maybe they'll keep that for the rest of Digg. He says users know what feeds they want to follow, so there's not going to be a whole lot of suggestion going on. He says you can manage your feeds, you can read them, emphasizes clean, uncluttered, that sort of thing. He also says that the company has moved Digg Reader onto production servers and that they plan to meet their goal of launching by the end of June. He also mentioned that there's an Android version. He mentioned that it was off to the side, so it definitely doesn't sound like Android is going to be at launch, so possibly iOS and web only. And also Instapaper, which was recently acquired by BetaWorks as well. Some people were interested in, well, maybe Instapaper and Digg kind of become, you know, maybe one product. He says, no, Instapaper is about reading stuff later. Digg Reader will be about reading stuff now. Darren, I don't know. I'm pretty optimistic. I think it sounds like the Digg folks are taking this really seriously, and Digg Reader is going to be unveiled pretty soon. What do you think?
Well, I think this is good innovation as far as Digg is concerned, and that's always good to see. As far as Google Reader is concerned, I kind of feel like it's been months now. I feel like we're going through the five stages of grief, and we've just finally made it through denial and anger. The more people that are trying to work on an alternative to this, the better. And if anybody has something to gain in this, Digg could definitely use the subscribership if they're able to come up with something really innovative. So I applaud that.
We've had some time to get used to the idea of Google Reader going away. Mm-hmm. I have to admit, you know, I haven't thought too much about it. I think that my life would be okay if there was never another Google Reader? Do you think enough people care enough to pay attention to Dig Reader when it does launch?
I think they're not going to pay attention when it launches. After July 1st, people will notice that it exists.
Yeah.
And once Google Reader disappears and ceases to function, I think that's really going to be the triggering point. And having their servers ready at Dig and making sure that stuff's ready, that's really important. So they will be able to promote it and everything. But I'm telling you, on the 1st will be a massive freak out by people who were ignoring that little pop-up window, which just mocks you, telling you this will cease to work on the 1st. The weird thing is, every time I kept reading the story, I kept looking to see if it said web app or iOS app. But the discussion of Android makes it seem like that Dig Reader is going to be on iOS exclusively. I'm not really sure what's going on there, because the way I used to use Google Reader was on a desktop browser. And so the weird idea of it not being separated from the iOS app, that seems fine. But I'm really curious about how it's going to be implemented on the web, if at all, because it seemed like it was going to be a web property.
Well, and also, what about cross-platform apps that take advantage of Google Reader right now? That's weird. I mean, if Dig Reader launches on iOS and not Android, and you've got someone who loves Flipboard, and that experience has to change if Flipboard ends up integrating something like Dig Reader, then you have a whole bunch of people who all of a sudden can't use the product that they've loved for so long. I don't know, Jason. Does that freak you out? Or
I'm sorry, I was distracted on something.
Sorry,
I apologize.
Yes, he's freaked.
He's freaked out.
I'm so freaked out. I'm stunned into silence.
He's at a loss for words. Yeah. Well. Yeah, it's, I don't know. I'm excited for Dig Reader. I am. I feel like the folks over at BetaWorks seem to be making a lot of really, really smart choices these days. So it won't be long now. And we'll be sure to talk about Dig Reader on the show. Len, I love your cartoons. We haven't even checked in with you since we started the show. I'm so sorry about that. You've just been drawing and
in good. I like listening to you guys.
Yeah, that's great. we'll look at everything that Len drew over the course of the show in just a few minutes. But first, how about some Bing news?
Sure. We haven't talked about Bing in a long time. So this week, Microsoft announced changes to Bing News. That's their news site, with the inclusion of trending topics and related individuals. Now, they've also expanded their index from weeks to years. And doing a sample search for something like NASA, it brings a carousel on the top of the news results. And on the right side, you start seeing related people. So like on Bing, for this search for NASA, you'd see Bill Gates, Steven Spielberg, and Buzz Aldrin, including, and there's also Mark Zuckerberg. It's a really odd bunch of people there. Clicking on those people takes you to a news search on that particular person. We'll go quickly around the horn. Darren Kitchen, is this amazing or the most amazing thing ever?
This is the most amazing thing ever. No, this is Microsoft realizing through, you know, taking a look at their analytics that celebrities and public figures are some of the hottest search terms on news and images. And so they're just capitalizing on that. And it makes sense. They can provide a experience that's, you know, that's more beautiful, then people will gravitate towards that.
See, now when I looked at it, beautiful was not the word I thought of. Sarah, did you see this thing? And do you think it's beautiful?
I did see it. I don't know if I would say beautiful either. I think it's really cool. The problem is I think it's really cool, and I probably won't think about it again in a week. You know what I mean? It's like that. There's so much that's great about Bing, and you go, "Oh wow, that works really well. Oh cool, that's what an interesting way to approach, you know, news search." But then I still continue not using it, and I don't really have a good reason for that. But I know I'm not alone.
I was trying out the search this morning, and it seems tacked on. It doesn't seem like it's designed very nicely. Considering Microsoft's pretty design oriented when it comes to Windows and everything, when it comes to Bing, it's like, oh, look, we've got this carousel on top of these four or five tiles you can skip through. On the right side, you have this right-hand rail. It's starting to look like a portal. It's not looking like a news site or a news search even. It's a little clunky, I think. And this, I'm only thinking the clunkiness is going to get larger. We're going to get more tiles up there. And the worst thing about this whole experience, as far as I'm concerned, is the lack of relevant results. Because if I'm looking up NASA, I don't see Mark Zuckerberg has nothing to do with NASA, as far as I know, unless I click that. Maybe it takes me to some NASA-related Mark Zuckerberg story, which I'm not exactly aware of.
Yeah, that story, even if you click on it, it's about something about Mark Zuckerberg in Brazil.
And Poland, yeah, and 10 fun facts. So it's if the search itself doesn't work,
who
related...
cares what it looks like?
Exactly.
What are you guys talking about? It's cleaner. It's more beautiful. I say they go flat and black and white.
Yeah.
That's the problem.
Yeah,
too much blue.
That carousel is just too skeuomorphic for my taste. Flatten it.
No, not skeuomorphic enough. We need more horses.
Or a series of tubes. Mm-hmm. That too. All right, let's dig ourselves out of these tubes and move on to the randomizer. So Daily Show fans may have already seen this, but we talked yesterday about, was it yesterday?
A couple of days ago
about Tim Cook's testimony at the Senate trying to explain why Apple is not trying to be illegal with the whole tax evasion thing, that they're actually following all the rules. And Jon Stewart had kind of a funny little take on it.
Eliminate all corporate tax expenditures, lower corporate income tax rates, and implement a reasonable tax on foreign earnings that allows the free flow of capital back to the United States.
Corporations are the only reason the tax code is so complicated in the first place. Those offshore loopholes didn't get carved out by poor people. Our tax code is purposefully...
funny because it's true.
I studied this stuff, and the amount of exclusion. I studied tax law for a year, got a degree in the whole fun stuff, and it's needlessly complex because there are fun loopholes. And if you ever wanted to read the tax code, it's available for free. You can read it online. It's lots of fun if you want some bedtime reading.
Oh, it sounds awesome! Yeah,
it's terrific.
Hey,
I don't know. Taxes are hard. Let's go shopping.
Oh, it's been a lot of fun. That's actually that the full video is very funny. I mean, even if you're not a Daily Show fan, it's a good few minutes of TV. Ayaz, what's on the calendar?
I'm glad you asked me. First, we're going to say happy birthday to Julian Peralta, Rob Merlin, and Maru the cat, because apparently all share a birthday today.
Aw, happy birthday, everybody.
Tomorrow is Geek Pride Day, Star Wars release. We got Towel Day, Glorious Revolution of the 25th of May, whatever that means. The new season of Arrested Development, I'm excited about this, hits Netflix on May 26th, although the creator of the show says don't sit there and marathon them all. I don't know why.
Why not? That's the beauty of Netflix.
The thing I read was something about continuity errors. And tomorrow is a Hack 5 Portland meetup. Darren, where in Portland?
We're going to be at the Oregon Museum of Science and Industry at 2:30 in Portland. So come on out, hack5.org for all the details.
All right, let's see what's incoming.
Incoming message.
We got a message from Tim Green. This is, hi, exploding TNT crew. I think we're exploding today. On the Xbox One coverage here in Germany, where I live, a story is circulating again about the Microsoft patent for movie rentals that would sell multiple tickets for the movie based on the number of people sitting in front of the Kinect camera. Given the new capabilities of the new Kinect, that certainly sounds technologically doable. I don't know about you, but if there were even a remote possibility of this ever becoming a reality, I would never even consider getting an Xbox or any product from Microsoft for that matter. How do you feel about this? Would this be fair or gouging? I can see the logic, but I really, really hate it on so many levels. I don't know where to start. Greetings from sunny Deutschland. Not really. The weather sucks here too.
Oh, Tim, I'm sorry it sucks. There's no way that this would be a reality. No freaking way. Can you imagine? Hey, there's 5 people in that room, so you owe us $20 rather than 4.
It also seems like there'd be workarounds too, right? It's like, what if you're behind a piece of glass, you can see it. Got a mirror in the other room, I can see it. It just seems like it probably was some crazy idea, and they're like, well, you know what? There's a method to do this. We can do this. We'll write it out. We're going to file 85 patents anyway. Put it in the bunch.
Yeah. Yeah, there'd be a lot of people hiding behind the couch. Like, how much can we actually come up? Until the Xbox recognizes me.
And then your cat comes in and you're like, no, that doesn't count, Xbox. Yeah. Xbox, cat, not person.
Xbox is like breathing, heartbeat, pay.
Movie termination.
I don't know, Tim. I don't know. Darren, what do you think? I don't think Tim has anything to worry about. Do you?
No, but I just love the concept of it. And I just love the hacks. And I think Ayaz hit the nail on the head, where it's like, anytime that, you know, business people see any sort of opportunities through technology, they're going to go ahead and come up with wild ideas, because it may not work today. But, you know, imagine 50 years in the future, this could totally be a thing. And we'd all be like, what? That's normal. There's like 5 people in the room. What are you talking about?
So let's check back in with Len. Len, you've been drying up a storm throughout the entire show. Should we quickly go through your masterpieces?
Oh, absolutely. Yes, I'll go through the top story here. This is my image for Google buying Waze.
Love it.
You know, the little guy and the little Monopoly guy in the car. This is story number 2, which is the senseless which I thought was really funny. So that's the, that's the senseless right there.
Another kind of senseless.
This is flat, black and white, and thin. You know, the new iPhone kind of getting an up facelift. And, of course, there's like a Kate Moss type person who's kind of jealous.
And kind of skeletal, of that. Too.
That's why it's Kate Moss. Very,
yes, exactly. Story four was this is Hulu on the auction block. This gives me a good opportunity to draw like a fun little auctioneer there. And I'm interested to see what happens with that story. This is Dig Reader, which I think, I made him a superhero. He just sounded like a cool guy, you know, like from a 70s movie or something.
I'm Dig Reader.
Dig me. So that's Dig Reader. And then the final one, which is Bing Searches, thought this was really funny. This is a little guy searching for Sarah Lane. And now his searches are complete.
Oh, I'm so happy for him. These are so great, Lynn. We love having you, and you know, you were here last Friday, and you're here today. So thanks so much for joining us. I know it's a lot of work. Tell people where they can find out more about the work that you do.
Oh, well, you can go search me online at Len Peralta. Just go to lenperalta.com or follow me on Twitter. Believe it or not, it is just Len Peralta.
Wonderful. Well, thanks so much for joining us again. And of course, Darren Kitchen, who is on the Oregon Trail but had time to be part of TNT as always on Friday. Tell folks what's going on with Hack 5.
Thank you very much. Well, we're doing Hack Across America, which means I'm going all across the nation meeting hackers. And come on out. We're going to be today in Eugene, Oregon, tomorrow in Portland, on the 29th in Seattle, and June 22nd in Los Angeles. Date all of those information at hak5.org or hackacrossamerica.com.
I love that. That's very Breaking Bad, isn't it? Hack Across America. But instead of meth... they're doing good.
That's a good tagline.
Thanks, Sarah. That's I'm
spoiler.
Use that.
And thanks everybody who contributed to our subreddit. You can submit and vote on story coverage at technewstoday.reddit.com. Even Darren checks our subreddit as well. Yeah, so we got our top story. Was a Google Maps story. So, you know, we definitely take into consideration the kinds of stories that you want to see on TNT, and you help us build our lineup. So thanks to everybody who's in there and submitting stories and voting them up or down. And of course, don't forget your best of submissions. If there was something in the show that you thought was pretty good and you'd like to see it in one of our best of shows, go to twit.tv/best of and submit it. We thank you in advance. And we're not going to be here on Monday, actually, because Monday is Memorial Day in the U.S., so we will have Jonathan Strickland on our show on Tuesday. I don't know what we're going to do on Monday, but we're not going to be here.
Barbecue.
Until then, you can email us at tnt@twit.tv. You can give us a call and leave us a voicemail at 260-TNT-SHOW. Until next week, have a great weekend, everybody.